Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's shaking, Daniel?
When's your first race of the year?
April something or other. Champaign, Illinois.
Whoa.
Half marathon.
Coming up.
Coming up. End of April.
When's the first marathon? Ultra or whatever.
Well, none on the docket.
Okay.
That was supposed to be a full, but my running partner is struggling with some injuries. He's just getting back to 100%, and so we have decided half.
Okay.
Half.
And I hear you've talked Logan into running now.
One of the previous podcasts, Logan shared with the audience about his 5K experience with me down in Texas. He did fantastic.
How far are we gone?
Just under a K.
All right. I would have thought a little more, but okay.
I thought he did fantastic. So he's going to, you know, I told him, I said, listen, we got to just try to get a race on the calendar. So I think middle of May, we have put a local 10K on the calendar. I think that's a good start. And it's one of those where there's a 10K, there's a half marathon, etc.
So if you're feeling good, you just keep going.
No, but I mean, he'll be around people, you know? It'd be like the time I rolled up to my first 50K, and I got out of the car, and I see these two older guys, and I'm like, hey, guys, like, you know, ready to go? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, what are you running? And they're like, 100 miler? And I'm like, cool. Like, good for you. Oh, my goodness. And I felt very, very small at that moment.
That's right. Yeah.
How you been? How's your running? How's your triathlon training, big dog?
Good. I'm still early on. Coming up on 5 months to go, I guess. So still base mode, just building up volume and all of that. So easing into it. Try not to get injured. That's the goal.
I can't wait to hear about this. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's a long time coming. Still
where's
got months to go.
Where's the Louisville. Swim of the
Well, it's
race?
All in Louisville, so
but
it's
I mean,
in the
in
river.
The river?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And what time of year?
I'll probably have dysentery 3 days later.
What time of year is this?
August.
Oh, okay.
It'll be warm.
Yeah, that's fine.
It'll actually hurt me because it'll be warm.
A lot of tide. Like, isn't that a fast current?
That's the goal, not having to swim.
But I mean, is it an out and back?
No, it's you go around the little inlet island thing, and then you're downstream to the finish. So
Got it.
I can just, like, backstroke.
That's fascinating. That'd well, we'll keep. I can't wait to hear about it. That'll be exciting.
We'll maybe we'll live stream it or something.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
Yeah. All right. Some exciting things to talk about today. Number one, we have a new sponsor for this episode, and
fantastic.
I'm super excited about it. So, Wallet Hub,
mm-hmm.
an amazing website. I mean, it dovetails very nicely with the question we have today, which is a great question, by the way, that we don't touch on enough of. But Wallet Hub is a great resource where you can go. You can learn about, you know, what options are out there for maybe, you know, budgeting tools or debt consolidation or credit scores. There's a lot of great articles. And, you know, what happened was they reached out for some comments on an article that was being written about credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah, I'd love to provide some commentary. And then the dialogue began. And the next thing you know, this episode is sponsored by Wallet Hub.
There we go.
So check it out, wallethub.com. Certainly a DIY Money approved website for further education and something you can, I think, learn from. So check them out again, wallethub.com. Now, without further ado, let's go right into today's question from Amy. What do you got?
DIY!
Hey guys, my name is Amy, and I'm just calling to get your thoughts on credit cards. You know, what are your thoughts on using them for points? Is it worth it? How do you transfer balance, or do you keep a balance on purpose? And how does that impact your credit score? Any information would be helpful.
Okay, Amy, great question. I really appreciate it. We I think early on in the DIY Money podcast era, we talked about credit cards and using points. I feel like we got some questions regarding that.
We've touched on it a little bit, yeah.
But it's been ages. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you some of my personal thoughts, and I'll tell you how I've kind of come full circle. So very fortunate for me that my very first credit card was an American Express. Why was that fortunate? Because the American Express made me pay off the balance at the end of the month. Like, literally, you could not carry a balance. Mm-hmm. And it was a total fluke. I signed up for it on campus. I got it. I mean, literally, my credit card says, like, member since 1997, 1998, something like that. I've been a member for a long time of American Express. Now, I realize American Express now has the ability to do, you know, payments and so forth, and they have a lot of other things. But I personally, thankfully, never necessarily got into a trap, like a lot of people can, of being irresponsible with a credit card. It didn't mean I didn't have credit card debt eventually, because I certainly did. I added, I think, a Visa or a Discover or something like that, and I did a few balance transfers. And, I mean, the next thing you know, I had credit card debt, and it was not great. But I where I'm going with this is, after I tackled that, followed the DIY money steps, you know, debt snowballed my way out of credit card debt, et cetera, to this day, I still use an American Express, which I ultimately pay off every month. I also use a Marriott Reward Bonvoy American Express.
Okay.
Now, I do that because we are constantly staying at Marriott. And that's where I get the points. I use them. I'm a, like, titanium platinum. I mean, I'm, like, in a ridiculous level. I'm not necessarily proud of this because that means I've stayed there way too much.
Sure.
But I've come full circle in that because a long time ago, and I remember you helped me out with this, like, I did the credit card game to get the Southwest
Companion Pass.
Companion Pass.
Yeah, I was like pulling teeth.
It was very difficult. I was not good at that. But what happened was I kind of got a little glimpse of that, and I was like, ooh, I like this. And so the next thing I did was I signed up for a credit card that gave me, you know, 50,000 miles or something like that. It was no fee for a year or maybe a few months. I don't remember. But the reality is that I ended up paying a fee. I ended up inadvertently, maybe out of laziness, keeping a balance open, which I did not want to do in the first place. And then I sort of realized, you know what, for me and my personality, I can't do this. I got to get rid of these. So I kind of, again, went full circle. I eliminated all that. I went right back to the American Express. It's kind of the only one we use with Bonvoy attached so that I get the points. Now, I'll let you touch on the kind of the parameters of that. I have only observed balance transfers, sadly, used irresponsibly. So what I mean by that is someone says, okay, I've got four or five credit cards. I've got this balance transfer option. They consolidate, they balance transfer, they get a 0% APR, but they don't change the habit. Mm-hmm. So, Amy, what I would say to you, first of all, I'll say two things and I'll kick it to Daniel. One, know thyself. Know whether you can use these things responsibly. Know whether the point game is in your, you know, kind of realm, if you will, if it's something you desire and can, again, be responsible with it, et cetera. And then regarding balance transfer, if that's something that you ever have to look at, you have to still address the challenge of why do you have credit card balances that you're carrying in the first place.
What say you there, Fussy Britches? Feel like talking?
Yeah, in sort of contrast to other sort of personalities that are very anti-against credit cards in the personal finance world, I would say that there is a place for them. We both utilize credit cards, so it's not as if we're saying, hey, you should definitely use a credit card. We never do. The fact is that, you know, we both have them in our wallets. We utilize them for various different things. Prior to having kids, we, as you alluded to, were very active in the credit card points sort of game, scheme, whatever. It's what allowed us to do some travel that was really on our wish list. And not just to do that travel, but to do it in a way that was really nice. I don't know, luxurious, if you will.
I remember you went on a cruise one time. You stayed like in the presidential suite.
Yeah,
or
we went
it was total points.
Yeah,
right?
Stayed in a penthouse suite on a cruise, and then we did. We kind of travel hacked some credit card points to be able to do like business/first class to Europe one time, which was fantastic. Now, all those things said, like, we weren't going to buy those tickets in cash. regardless. Like, we might have bought economy to Europe or something. So we basically utilized it to upgrade our experience and to make really good memories and stuff like that. But we might not have even taken that trip had we not had the points. So there is that as well. So it really did help us live the kind of what we wanted to do. We did have to pay, you know, the credit card sort of fees on that. I ran the spreadsheet, ran the numbers, and figured out kind of what we were saving, and it made sense for us. The key here is it fit into our typical spending rhythms. So normally when you're going to get a credit card, you know, sign-up bonus, rewards, things like that, you have to spend X amount within certain time amount. And so what we did is we did the math. In this relationship, my wife Ashley went on the trips with me. I did all the spreadsheeting, so it's a great symbiotic relationship, right? But we, you know, kind of did the spreadsheet and go, okay, here's what we normally spend in the 3 month time period that we need to spend on this card. Can we hit the spending requirement without having to go out and do ridiculous things to try to do it, or spend more than we need to, things like that. And so, if it fit into our spending pattern, we would do it. If not, we wouldn't do it. It's simple as that. So you have to kind of use the tool within the context of your life, your spending. Also, we had been, prior to utilizing credit card reward points, we had had credit cards out of convenience for years and were not paying interest rates on them. So what I mean by that is we had a 5+ year history of managing monthly balances in a way that did not incur any sort of additional expense. Now, I will say there are some pretty valid statistics out there. I can't quote them off the top of my head that show that if you use credit card versus, say, actual physical cash or a debit card with a bank balance, that you are apt to probably spend more than you would otherwise. Again, I can't quote exactly where that is, but I do believe that because it's really easy just to run the card, kind of forget about it. So know your budget, know your sort of cash flow, and if you can do that, fantastic. Utilize the rewards. Since we were kind of doing that, we've since had kids. We don't travel as much as we used to, so we've just kind of ignored it because it doesn't fit into our normal rhythms. We would have a accrual of points, and it just wouldn't be as beneficial to us. So we've kind of hit pause on that for a while. I think we would do it again. But I know that since then, they've changed some of the rules and restrictions around it. So obviously understand that as well.
I think, again, this dovetails really nice because there's a great resource on Wallet Hub that you can go and you can analyze different cards, you can analyze different benefits, etc. I do want to touch on one thing that you asked about, which is your credit score. So this is an area, again, it's so unique in that we're not going to take the position that just says, oh, credit cards are terrible. They're not right for everyone. I'm going to make this very, very clear. I enjoy a glass of wine. My wife and I will sit down at dinner. We'll enjoy a glass of wine. That doesn't mean alcohol is right for everybody, right? It's if it's in your ability to be responsible, etc. That's my opinion. So credit cards are sort of the same way. You have to be, sort of intellectual and responsible enough to know I can use these, mature enough to know I can use these, I can be responsible with these. It's not going to change my long-term financial trajectory. And if that's the case, if the answer for you is yes, it is a great way to build your credit over time. Having an open balance, paying it off, being a frequent, sort of on-time payer, all of those things go into your credit score. And then probably the most impactful part of your credit score is credit used versus credit available. So what I share with people who are trying to build their credit all the time is if you have a card and you're responsible with it, call up and see if you can expand your credit. Now, they may say yes, they may say no. More often than not, they will easily increase your credit limit. And what that does is, if you are not keeping a balance, you've now just immediately increased your credit availability. And in the eyes of a credit score, that's a positive. So I've seen a lot of people who have kind of hacked their way, if you will, to an improved credit score simply by using a credit card in a responsible manner. And when they do, calling up to that credit card company and saying, hey, can you increase my balance? And when that happens, more often than not, that improves their credit score. You can go backwards as well. Obviously, if you have too many credit cards, if you're if you're requesting too many, you know, open credit lines, like you're constantly getting store credit. Here's one thing I don't do. I don't do cards from the store. I'm not good at that. I never am. I mean, it took me like 2 years to shut down a Kohl's card. It was terrible. So that's not what I do. Some other people are fine with that. It's not for me. But the more times you request a credit card or have your credit checked, that obviously dings your credit report. So there's kind of a fine line on that, but it can be used in a responsible manner to certainly increase your credit score. Anything else we need to add on that?
Yeah, I think we talked about or touched on sort of the balance transfers, and you know, totally agree with you there that you got to look at what the behavior is that caused you to get into a balance transfer scenario, because we're not advocating carrying a balance. So that's one very key thing there. Also, read the fine print in those balance transfer offers. They will give you the headline number, which is 0% for 18 months or something like that. But if you read that fine print, you're still going to pay to make that balance transfer happen. And you need to run the numbers and figure out whether that's really worth it or not, or whether you can just pay it down where it is more aggressively.
All right. Thanks so much, Amy, for that question. We'll send you a $25 Amazon gift card. All she did was sent us an audio question to podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. And because we used it on the show, she'll get a $25 Amazon gift card. Remember, friends, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest and do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.